Please be seated. Number three, Susan, number three, that's George's job. Number three lights. Okay, you can open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at reading verses 22 and 24. How many of you are facing a mountain in your life right now? How many? I think we all are. What does it take to move the mountain? That's a good question. And the answer is faith. You're right, brother. But how much faith? It's a better question, is it not? Well, you're there in Mark, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or that could be, if you look at the other version, it's have the God kind of faith. Verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The mountain can be removed. And it can be removed by faith. Because it says right up there, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea. And what? And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. That's faith. The problem is, when we hear that word mountain, we immediately relate it to our own capabilities. And we begin to think, literally, about how much explosive it's going to take to move that mountain in our lives. Folks, when the mountain won't move, don't you be moved. As Pastor said on Sunday, stand. And when you've stood, what are you supposed to do? Stand. And what do you stand on? You stand on the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus, the rock, the firm foundation. So that's where you stand. Okay, a little story. There was a man staying at a chalet in the Swiss Alps. Early one morning, he heard what sounded like an earthquake. He jumps out of bed and he runs as fast as he can down to the front desk. And he asks, is there something wrong? If the mountains were breaking up or what? You know, he was pretty upset. He was scared. The man at the front desk was very relaxed and calm, telling the man everything was all right. He explained, saying, sir, we are on the west side of the mountain. As the sun comes up on the east and the snow and the ice expand as they begin to warm, the expansion causes a loud crashing noise. It's not the end of the world. It's just the beginning of a new day. Isn't that just like human nature, though? When we have a need or a problem arises or comes up, we tend to think, if we can't figure it out right away on our own, it's the end of the world. And we become fearful. Do we not react that way? First thing that comes in is fear. Well, instead of realizing the magnitude of the fantastic opportunity, though, that it represents in our lives. See, if we are willing to just let go and trust God and take him at his word that he will take the dilemma or the loud crashing noises of our problems and turn them into a brand new day of opportunities for us. The crashing noises can be loud, causing fear. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Well, 2 Timothy. Why can you be glad and rejoice when you've heard that crashing loud noise in your life? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's why we can rejoice. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is not pretty or productive. It's an ugly trick of the enemy that he uses on a non-stop basis. It's the opposite of faith, and it is very counterproductive. It keeps God from working in your life, all because of your not knowing what's going to happen in your situation. Guess what? If God is ever going to do any amazing things in your life and what you're asking Him to do for you, you're going to have to really trust Him and to get used to God working in and on His own. Quit trying to get Him to do it your way. Follow His directions for a change. Try it His way. He's completely independent of what you may think or say. Now, some might say, well, that's blind faith. Well, you call it what you want, but that is faith. Turn to Hebrews there. You're only a couple chapters away. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen with the human eye. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And it goes on to say, He rewards those. What does He do? Who what? Diligently seek Him. And diligently means a steady, earnest, and energetic effort. It takes an effort to seek Him. You seek Him half-heartedly, that don't impress Him at all. He wants you to be seeking Him with all your energy. And you'll find Him. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So that problem is, we got to quit trying to figure out God and just believe who He is. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. The universe. He created the universe. He created this earth that we're on. He created you and He created me. In His image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit put together what you are. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. When you look in that mirror, you say, I'm in His image. Wow. I'm in His image. I'm not trying to make fun of that. I'm making you ought to be looking in there. Don't look down on yourself. That's whose image you are. You know, no one really completely understands the miracle of life. But yet, you're okay with it. Something so complicated, and you don't even question it. But you know that it works. It's the same with all our needs, wants, and desires in life. Before they ever come to life, there has to be a birthing process. And the birthing process is called F-A-I-T-H, faith. Takes faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. I better slow down. We'll be out here in 10 minutes. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Because of your unbelief. Because he says, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. And the mountain will move. See, when we start to equate the solution to our problem to our ability, well, that's the moment unbelief enters the arena. That's the moment our faith takes back seat to our ability. There's a song by Lauren Daigle. It's called, I Will Trust in You. Sister Debbie has sang that a couple times for us, which I'm going to have to get her back up here to do it again. And the words go, letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary. I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust you. I will trust you. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you. That's who we are to trust in, because sometimes we don't really understand, do we? Well, look to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. See, sometimes we wish we could think just like God thinks, but we don't. And that's why in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and make it begin, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Just heard it, didn't we, Bob? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without power. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It'll prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Psalm 118, verse 24. And I sent my word and healed them. See, God does things in ways that we don't understand. He does them through His Word. His Word works. His Word works. Are you working the Word? Think about that for a minute. Are you truly working the Word? So you need to have faith in God, or the God kind of faith, and then work the Word. Put your faith behind the Word. What kind of faith does it take to move mountains? Well, that's pretty easy. Mountain-moving faith, right? Takes mountain-moving faith. Wrong. Wrong. That's not what kind of faith it takes to move a mountain. Jesus told us in Matthew 17, verse 20, and He made it pretty clear. Then He says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Doesn't sound like He said you need mountain-moving faith. No, you need that little bit of faith. That's all you need. The kind of faith it takes to move a mountain, Jesus says, only the amount of the size of a grain of mustard seed is enough. It's all it takes. Your minds are going, really? Really? Quit trying to reason it out. That's what we're trying. You know, I've done that myself. I'm not innocent of that. And I got to repent before Him whenever I realize I went down that road. And when you repent for those kind of things, He loves to hear that. That's why David was so successful. A man after God's own heart. He blew it several times. But he knew as soon as he did, he went to God and he repented. Our faith in Jesus' capabilities will do the very same thing to our needs if we will apply it. And trust that Jesus will do what He says He will do for us. Listen to this very carefully. Because if we can't trust everything He said, why would we trust anything He said? Are you saved? Are you saved? Come on, I think there's a lot of people I should be here. Yeah! And that's what you should be saying. You believe you're saved. Well, why don't you believe all the Word? You got to believe it all. Don't believe and pick parts out of it. Believe it all. Because He gave it to us. He gave us His Word to lead and to guide us. You see, the thing is, He's not asking for something impossible from us. No, He's not. He's asking for something completely possible. Because we already possess what He's asking for us to do. He has already given us the capability to do what He's asking us to do. Really? Yeah, we already have it. We already have it. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God's already given it to us. God has dealt to every believer the measure of faith. That phrase, the measure of faith, tells us something powerful about faith in the Christian walk and how it applies to you and to me. If you want your faith to grow, if you desire to trust the Word of God implicitly, knowing that because of it, you can trust God to handle whatever difficulties arise, whether illness, financial distress, unemployment, or whatever else comes your way, then there's good news. As a born-again believer, you have the ability to make that desire a reality. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's what the Word says. The measure of faith is the same for every believer. And it is the same faith that Jesus possessed. It's the same faith that Jesus possessed. See, different believers have developed and strengthened their faith over time. And how? By the Word. See, and their faith is no different than yours. You have the same capabilities. When you look at someone, you say, man, they really got their faith out. There we go. Look how much. I wish I had that much faith. They don't have any more faith than you do. They were given the same amount of faith. The measure of faith that is developed and strengthened in you comes from one place, the Word of God. Romans 10, 17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every one of us, every individual, Brother Hagin, Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, we're given the same faith that you were, the same measure of faith. They developed it, they strengthened it. How? By reading the Word of God, by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. So no different than you and me. No. Is it more important to watch sports on TV or read the Word? Is it more important to sit there and watch 3 hours of news or read the Word? Think about it. What's more important? Building your faith so that you can tackle those mountains that you're facing? You don't need a whole bunch of faith. You've already been given a measure of faith. And to move a mountain, what's Jesus say? A mustard seed. That's the size. That's how much faith you need. Now, behavioral scientists have discovered that we usually see things that we are prepared to see. This is all centered in a network of nerve cells called the reticular or activating system. And everybody has this system. Yeah, Joey, Tony, Flo, Susan, Angela, Jack, Lynette, Tabby, Lisa. I know everybody in here has that in them. That system was in you. Our Creator put it there. The reticular activating system works like this. Once something has been brought to our attention and we have been prepared to see it virtually everywhere we go. Okay, for example, you decide to buy something. You make up your mind that you are going to buy a certain brand, a certain body style, and a certain color. Now, you'll see that item everywhere. You'll see that item on billboards. You'll see it in TV, internet, and social media ads. It's in the newspapers. It's in the magazines you pick up. Everywhere. Now, what has happened? They were always there. But the moment you were prepared to see them, your reticular activating system kicked in, and suddenly you see them everywhere. It happens in other areas of life too. We see what we are prepared and expect to see. If we are prepared to expect and see doom and gloom, negative things, then that's what we'll see. If, on the other hand, we are prepared and expect ourselves to see our mountains moved and our needs being met, positive things, then that's what we're going to see. That's what we're going to see. God designed us with that system in us. Man didn't put it there. God did. It's part of your nervous system. Reticular activating system. RAS? Just remember that, RAS. God expects all of us to have at least a speck of faith. And a speck is all it's going to take, and that's all you need to move mountains. With only a speck of faith attached to the belief in Jesus, we can do anything we want for God. In Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." I didn't say it. Jesus did. Do you believe Jesus? Because he can't lie, can he? Mm-mm. So if you can believe, all things are possible to you who believe. See, contrary to what the accuser would have you think, it doesn't take a great man or woman of God to move mountains and to have that mountain-moving faith. No. It takes someone who is willing to use the speck of faith that they have. How about the woman with the demon-possessed daughter? Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Okay, look to verse 27 through 30. And this is the NLT version. Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. She took that little bit of faith, and he said, "Good answer, go home, your daughter's healed, the demon's gone." Apparently, she got up and left and went home because she knew that her daughter was healed. She knew when he spoke it, it was a done deal. She didn't question him. She didn't say, "No, I need you to come lay hands." No. She took that little bit of faith that she had, and she believed him. And what was the person's name? The woman. The woman. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. How about the leper that came to Jesus? Matthew chapter 8. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. Oh. He knew who he was going up to see. He worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." It wasn't a question. It was a statement he was making. Then Jesus put out his hand And he touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was clean. And he was clean. He took Jesus at his word at that very moment, and that's why immediately. As soon as Jesus said it, he probably looked at it and went, okay, I'm healed. He took that little bit of faith in the word of God, what he said, and he believed it. And what was his name? The leper. That's what we know by the leper. One more great example of mustard seed faith. Go back to Mark here. Mark chapter 2. Okay, and again, New Living Translation. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law were sitting there through and thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus immediately knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to a paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and pick up your mat and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praising God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. No. But this paralyzed man used that little bit of faith, the same measure of faith that you and I had. And when Jesus spoke it, he didn't say, what'd you say? Can you repeat that? No. He jumped up, picked up his mat, and he headed out the door. He got his healing. And everybody else in there is going, oh, wow. Never seen anything like that before. No, because they had never seen anything like Jesus before. They lived in that time. They saw what Jesus did. And those same religious people crucified him. Same people. Man. And if this guy had any other name than the paralyzed man, we'll never know it, will we? But what we do know is this. Both he and his friends had faith and were not afraid to use it. The lame, the blind, the insane, they came and with just a mustard seed of faith, yes, a mustard-sized seed of faith, and they were all healed. All of them were healed. All of these nameless people were not great followers of Jesus. Not all were regular churchgoers, nor can we say we know that they were respectable citizens. But all exercised that little speck of faith God had given them, and they were healed. And the thing is, if you would have asked them to identify the size of their need, I'm sure every one of them would have said the same thing. It's mountain size, Lord. It is mountain-sized. You know what? He probably looked at him and says, that's in your view. That's not how I look at it. Because when you're the one going through something, it always seems mountain-sized. It always does. I'm no different. And that's why we got to really stay on track. And we got to get right back in there. Because as soon as Satan sees an opening or an entrance, he's coming. And he's attacking your head. He'll attack your thoughts. And you got to tune him out. And you got to work the word. Because it is written. The amazing thing is, God used the same mustard size amount of faith to pummel every mountain-sized need that they had in their lives until there was no more need. There was no more need. No more revisiting the issue. When a man picked up his mat and walked out, he was not going to lay back on that mat again. When the woman went home with her daughter, they had fun times together. No more, because she knew that this demon wasn't coming back. She knew it. And the leper, he went into the temple and worshiped God because he was clean. Will he do that for you and me? Yes. See, because God does not show favoritism. Romans 2, 11, the NLT again, for God does not show favoritism, period. He doesn't have favorites. He loves us all the same. And there's not one of us that he doesn't love. Not one of us. He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Right? That's how much. He loved each and every one of us the same. He loves the sinners. Those that haven't, that don't know about Jesus. There's some that know, but they don't really believe. Bob runs into that all the time in his outreach, going down and visiting them at the different homes that he goes to and ministering to these men and these women. And he's got a lot of them that all of a sudden get on there and their eyes go, I never heard it that way. Wow. And Bob says, that's okay. This gives him the opportunity. He says, now, how would you like to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior? And I can guarantee you heaven. Bob, they look at Bob, and Bob's able to explain to them through the word that they'll go to heaven. That's why Bob enjoys the outreach so much. He loves that part of it. He loves ministering to those people. They don't have nobody else that's going down there and preach the word to them, but Bob does, because that's the calling that God put on his life. He knows that. He's realized that, and he's putting full effort into it. On Bob's days off, that's where he goes. He goes down there and shares his time with those people. I commend you, brother, for that. So what he has done for the woman with the demon-possessed daughter, the leper, and the paralyzed man that we just read about, he is willing and wants to do for all of us today. Not tomorrow. Today. Right now. Okay, another story. Once there was an old man who lived on the side of a mountain. And there were three little boys who were always trying to outsmart the old man. One of the little boys said, I'll put a marble in my hand, and we will go to the old man and ask him what it is I have in my hand. So the three boys went to visit the old man, and the little boy said, old man, what do I have in my hand? The old man answered, a marble. The boys left and came back with another similar scenario. And to the boy's astonishment, the old man in his wisdom was able to answer the question. The next day, the boys were pondering the situation, trying to come up with something so ingenious that the old man would never guess the answer. Then one of the boys said, "I know. I'll put this baby bird in my hand, and I'll ask the old man if the bird is alive or dead. And if he says the bird is alive, I'll crush it in my hand and outsmart the old man." So, with smiles on their faces, they went back to the old man's house, knocked on the door, and he came out. And they're snickering and grinning. And one little boy says, "Old man, what do I have in my hand?" The old man answered, "A baby bird." Then the boy said, and they were laughing, "Is the bird alive or dead?" The old man stopped and he looked the little boy in the eye and he said, "It's as you wish, son. It's as you wish." The fate of the little bird rested in the boy's hand. The fate of our needs also rests in our hands. When we come asking of God for our needs to be met, He asks us, "What do you have in your heart?" And our response should only be, "What you've given to me, Lord, a measure of faith to believe you with, to do what you said you will do for me and nothing else." And God's reply, "Child, that's enough." That's what He's going to tell you. That's enough. In fact, that's more than enough. So if you have a need, I encourage you to offer God what you already possess. That little bit of seed. That's all the faith that it takes. I want you to boldly go to Him, expecting your mountain to move and to be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Because I'll never forget a teaching that Brother Copeland did on that. And he said that God revealed to him that when he said, "Take that mountain and be thou cast into the sea," he says, "Why do I need to cast it into the sea?" He says, "Because it'll sink and you won't see it no more and you'll forget about it." Don't try to figure it out, folks. Just come with the measure of faith you have and trust God that He's going to meet your need. Not tomorrow. Right now. Right here. Amen? Exercise that small amount of faith that you have, because every one of us have the same measure of faith. Amen? Thank you.